Plexico Star Theater. The more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast welcome you to an hour of mirth and melody with our star comedian, Fred Allen, Kenny Baker, and Portland Hoffa. Our guests, Chief Nidaba, famous Indian guide, the Martins, and Al Goodman's orchestra. It's Texaco time. Ladies and gentlemen, if I say to you Wednesday, February 12th, it means Lincoln's birthday. But if you say to me Wednesday, February 12th, it means just another Wednesday. And here he is again, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Say, Jimmy.
I know. You didn't like the introduction.
Jimmy, I only wanted to
You
say...
never like your introductions. The same beef every week.
Jimmy, I only want...
I've got to think up something, don't I? I can't just say, here's Fred Allen every Wednesday.
Jimmy, I only wanted...
Maybe
to...
you better get yourself a new mouthpiece.
Now, wait a minute. I am trying to say to you that your introduction tonight was swell.
You mean you liked it?
Yes, I did. Well, after all, mentioning me in the same breath with Lincoln...
What a comparison. Lincoln freed the slaves, and look at me. I barely finished eating dinner, and here I am back working. If that isn't slavery...
Oh, stop crabbing. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be eating dinner. Oh, Kenny.
Sorry, not right now, F.A.
Not right now what?
I haven't got time to say anything funny right now. I've got to go.
What's your rush? Did Uncle Don hide something for you tonight? What's your hurry?
I'm writing this essay for Mr. Goodman.
What essay?
An essay about Lincoln. It's Mr. Goodman's homework at night school.
Oh, is he up to Lincoln, is he? Say, have you gotten your facts together?
No, I'm going out right now and get a directory.
A directory to check on Lincoln? You mean a history, don't you?
No, a directory. I've got to look up a Mr. Gettysburg's address.
Oh, well, that's the place to look. And while Kenny gets in touch with Mr. Gettysburg, we turn to the latest news of the week. The Texaco News presents its highlight from the world of news. New York City, New York. Heavy rains that swept metropolitan area and Atlantic seaboard late last week left behind scores of stalled cars, flooded basements, interrupted telephone service, and highway washouts. Texaco News checks on the storm flashes from entire eastern sector. Baltimore, Maryland reports...
Rain so steady here, a statue of Henry Clay turned to mud.
Hogwash, Vermont...
Port here. 200 of my hens got lumbago from setting on wet nests.
Nutley, New Jersey...
Streets were flooded here. I stepped off the sidewalk, the water was over my head. I went down four times before they pulled me out.
Well, but you can only go down three times in water.
I know. If I could count, I'd have drowned.
Hundreds of similar flashes poured in from entire eastern area. A tourist in New York City who was confused by the storm was Miss Trilby Lamour. You witnessed the deluge, Trilby?
Yes. I saw this fluid catapulting down. I didn't know what it was.
You didn't know what it was? You had never seen rain?
I'm from California.
You don't have rain in California?
I believe there is a small bottle of it in the museum at Pasadena.
Oh, come, Miss Lamour. You must have dew in California.
Dew is optional.
Dew is optional? How do you mean?
If you want dew, there are men who come around every morning and service the grass.
They service the grass out there, do they?
Yes.
Oh, yes, I've heard of those dew bills flying around Hollywood. I've heard of them.
You know, you bore me.
Well? If you're going to be frank, you leave me no alternative. I must be earnest. Well, it's the old saying, we've got to wait for television. What are we doing? It's the old saying, it never rains, but it bores.
I assure you it will never rain in California. Now, I suppose you'll ask me why.
Yes, I'm not going to disappoint you. I'm about to ask you why. Why?
Rain has to fall, doesn't it?
I beg your pardon?
Rain has to fall, doesn't it?
You get extra for that, reading it twice. Rain, this man is holding a lady's hand. Would you mind letting go so we can't keep our mind on it? Very difficult to keep our minds on the script, young man. If you're in here auditioning for marriage, of course we'll stop if we're interfering with you. But what was it you said about rain?
Rain has to fall, doesn't it?
Yes. Having a difficult time getting down, isn't it?
And nothing can fall without the law of gravity, can it?
Ah, so then the real reason it cannot rain in California is...
The Chamber of Commerce has repealed the law of gravity. Ask me why.
You should live so long in bad health, yes. And thank you, Trilby Ad Lib Lamour. A Navy man who had a most unusual experience in the rain was Ensign Naunton Keel. Where are you stationed, Ensign?
I'm at the Brooklyn Navy Yard. I'm a decider.
A decider?
Yeah, when a new boat is finished, nobody knows if it's a launch or a submarine. I decide.
The whole thing is up to you. Well, how do you decide?
Well, I get into the boat. If the boat sinks, I decide it's a submarine.
And if it doesn't sink?
I decide it's a launch.
Well, I see. Well, now, about this rainstorm.
Oh, it was the worst dilemma of my entire nautical career.
What happened?
I was about to decide a new boat, the SS Flounder.
Yeah?
The rain is coming down in torrents.
Yeah?
I eased the SS Flounder out of dry dock. She sinks. I decide she's a submarine.
And you started to test her, did
you?
Yeah.
I submerge, and I come up, and it's raining pitchforks. Water everywhere. I can't see if the SS Flounder's submerged or if she's floating.
What did you do?
I keep testing. I'm shooting along. All of a sudden, I feel the Flounder is banging something on both sides.
Yes?
I stick out my periscope. I get me bearings.
Where were you? Off Sandy Hook?
No, I'm down in the IRT subway at 23rd Street.
You were down in the subway with your submarine?
Yeah, it was that rain, flooding everything. I must have come up in a street in Brooklyn, gone a couple of blocks, and submerged at Borough Hall.
Well, tell me, how did you ever get from 23rd Street back to the Brooklyn Navy Yard?
Well, I took a local, changed to Canal Street. I was back in the yard.
What became of your submarine?
Can you keep a secret?
Yes.
I seen an IRT Express go by this morning.
Yeah?
What do you think is painted on the side of the first car?
What?
SS Flounder.
Subway riders were jammed into a submarine and didn't notice the difference?
Not on the IRT, brother.
Well, it could be, MT. And thank you, Ensign Naunton Keel. The man who really had the most trouble as a result of the recent rain was one Rudy Goober. You had a medley of dire adventures, Rudy.
I ended up in the clinch.
Well, what happened?
Well, I worked down on the east side.
Yeah?
Friday, I go out to lunch.
Was it raining?
The sun is out. I'm walking along Canal Street. I see a guy laying outside of a clothing store. I think he's fainted.
So?
I pick him up, carry him into the clothing store. I'll find out he owns it.
How did you know?
While I'm trying to revive him, he sells me a suit of clothes.
You mean it's a racket?
Yeah, this guy lays outside the store. People keep carrying him in. Bang, he revives and sells him a suit.
What kind of a suit did you get?
A brown bagadine.
A gabardine?
Who knows? The guy had a dialect. And there I am, all in brown, a brown felt hat, brown bulldog shoes, a brown suit.
You were a symphony in sepia.
Oh, I'm hot.
No kidding.
Well, just as I'm stepping out of the clothing store, wham, this rain starts.
Yeah?
That's all, brother.
You mean the suit?
Everything. The hat flattened out like a crepe Suzette. The bulldog shoes spread out like two briefcases.
Well,
The coat shot up me back like a clawed skyrocket.
Yeah,
and both legs of me pants zipped up me shins and lassoed me hips.
Well, didn't you get in out of the rain?
No, I couldn't move. I was hemmed in by this clawed octopus.
You poor man.
There I stood, me little brown pants, me vest around me throat like a neckerchief. The next thing I know, zip, I'm in a patrol wagon.
Arrested?
I'm not only pinched, I got 30 days.
For what?
Impersonating a Boy Scout.
Thank you, Rudy Goober. But as folks in New York and the eastern states huddled together in dank little groups saying, quote, "This is the worst rain this country has ever seen," unquote, a voice from out of the sky was heard to say,
"You think you've seen rain? You don't know what rain is."
Who is that? Who are you?
I'm Noah, brother. In my day, it rained.
And now, through the magic of radio, we leave Noah and find ourselves confronted with Kenny Baker, who makes ready to sing Amapola.
Upon a distant shore, a girl with a way of whispering, "Si, senor." Each night, while guitars would softly play, the tune seemed to dance round the words that he'd say. Amapola, my pretty little poppy, you're like that lovely flower, so sweet and heavenly. Since I found you, my heart is wrapped around you, and loving you, it seems to be a rhapsody. Amapola, the pretty little poppy, must copy its endearing charm from you. Amapola, Amapola, how I long to hear you say,
where's Larry Elliott?
Right here, Fred.
Oh, Larry, I have something here that ought to interest you greatly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a memo from my private statistical bureau. He's out again, active. And it's this concerns the number of new drivers in this country last year.
Well, how many were there, Fred?
Approximately 2 million.
Say, 2 million new drivers. That's a lot.
Yep.
You know, if all those new drivers were placed end-to-end, why, they'd reach
for... I know. They'd reach for the gear shift and accidentally pull out the choke or something.
Oh, no, Fred.
Oh, yes, Larry. I know new drivers. Trying to remember how to move the gear shift lever into first, second, and high always gets them as rattled as the Siamese twins in a revolving door.
Well, not anymore, Fred, because today's new drivers have a lot less to learn. Modern cars are simpler and more flexible. In fact, the act of shifting gears while driving is rapidly going out of style. But that business of first, second, and high, those three mechanical divisions of speed and power, never has meant much, if anything, to Texaco Sky Chief gasoline. This different premium gasoline gets you off from a standing start with the speed of a flying takeoff, idles in traffic with the same unfaltering ease. Yes, Sky Chief power is flexible power that responds smoothly and quietly to every driving whim of yours and to all demands of your motor. Fly the highways with Sky Chief. your Texaco dealer's premium gasoline for those who want the best.
You take a bow as though you're going to sting somebody. Maestro Goodman has completed Hungarian dance number 5. And now let's... Oh, what's this? Come in.
Sorry I'm so late.
Hey, wait a minute. What is this?
Isn't this the Lone Ranger program?
This is the Texaco program.
Oh, wrong studio. I'm sorry.
I'd like to be a squirrel for about 2 minutes. With all these nuts in radio, I would be very happy, I'm sure. Oh, and entree.
Pardon me, is this studio in use?
No. I am a ghost.
A ghost? Well, you've got clothes on.
It's cold in here. Now, what is it you want?
Well, I'm Carlin, network vice president in full charge of acoustics.
So what?
I have a complaint that there is an echo in this studio.
An echo?
Yes, do you mind if I check on it?
No, go right ahead.
Is there an echo in this studio?
Yes!
That's all I wanted to know, thank you.
Sound man. Say, sound man.
Yes!
Are you the sound man?
No, I'm the echo.
I don't want you, I want the sound man.
Oh, excuse me.
Sound man.
Yes, Mr. Allen.
Look, will you nail up that door? Don't let anyone else in here. This will be one radio program where people won't be coming in and out through the door. Oh, hello, Portland.
Have you got 2 sticks of wood? Have you got 2 sticks of wood?
2 sticks of wood for what? Are you opening a termite ranch someplace?
No, I've got to make a fire.
Well, here's a match. Won't that do?
No, this is Boy Scout week. You're supposed to start all fires with 2 sticks.
What do you want with a fire?
I've got to make some coffee. Kenny's falling asleep.
No kidding. What's wrong with Kenny? What's the matter?
Oh, he's a nervous wreck. He didn't go to bed all night.
Why?
Well, in yesterday's installment, Dr. Lou had Buck Rogers locked in Laboratory 13.
Why didn't Kenny go to bed?
He was too worried. He stayed up to wait for the morning paper to see how Buck came out.
Look, what happens to me should happen to Buck Rogers.
Have you got 2 sticks?
Never mind the sticks. What about our guest?
He's a full-blooded Indian.
No kidding. You mean one of those Indians from the Tammany Wigwam?
No, he's a real Indian from the sportsman show. Mr. Allen, meet Chief Nidzabe.
Ugh. Ugh. How, Chief?
Good evening, Fred. It certainly is a pleasure to meet you.
Say, you speak better English than I do, Chief.
Thank you.
Now, before we start, what tribe do you belong to?
Well, I'm a member of the Penobscot tribe.
The Penobscots used to live up in Maine, didn't they?
That's right, Fred, and they still do. There are over 500 of my fellow tribesmen living in Maine now.
And voting Republican, no doubt. Well, an Indian syllable or indigestion? Well, does your name, your name Nidzabe have any particular significance in the Indian language?
Yes, it's a hard name to live up to, too, because Nidzabe means great friend in the Penobscot language.
Great friend. Well, if we ever hear the president say, "My Nidzabe!" I find out, 71 years old, I find out I'm a mimic. That only. If we ever hear the president say my Nidzabe's over the air, we'll know he's giving a bonfire side chat for the Penobscots, won't we? You know, I like those names the Indians always give visiting celebrities. Jack Benny stopped at a reservation last summer. Confidentially, he was trying to get a blanket wholesale. But the chief took one look at Benny's bald head and named him Nokoma. But Portland tells me, Chief, that you are here in New York in connection with the sportsman show.
That's right, Fred. It opens Saturday at the Grand Central Palace.
Well, what is the purpose of the sportsman show, Chief? Is it just held to give Abercrombie a chance to see what Fitch looks like?
No. The aim of the sportsman show is to promote public interest in all outdoor activities.
And you, as a veteran of the Maine woods, appear as an authority on hunting and fishing. Is that right?
Yes. I've hunted almost every kind of game you can think of. Well, and then a little fishing, too.
Well, but with the sportsman show held here in the heart of the city, how can you exhibit your hunting prowess? Now, what do? Do you take a crowd out and stalk a parking space on Madison Avenue, do you?
Well, no, it isn't that bad, Fred. You know, at the show, we try to reproduce as much of the outdoors as possible. Our feature exhibit is a large pool where we put on an exhibition and bait and fly casting.
Yeah.
Canoe tilting matches and log rolling contests.
Log rolling? You use real senators, do you?
No, this is real log rolling, Fred.
Well, what other sports are demonstrated on your H2O stage?
Well, for novelty, we sometimes put on crow and duck calling contests.
Duck calling, hey? I used to know a champion duck caller in vaudeville years ago. He was a whiz. He lived 20 years in a hen coop just perfecting these calls. And then he finally got a little wet, later on, and became a duck caller. Why, I saw this fellow give a duck call, at the corner of 48th and Broadway one day, Chief. A Donald Duck sign came down off the Rivoli marquee. Four duck pins rolled out of a bowling alley. And the duck pants flew off of the chef in McGinnis's window. Now, I imagine in your hunting, you have occasion to occasionally imitate bird and animal calls. Am I right?
Yes, I have. Perfect at many calls.
Well, when making a call, do you ever get a wrong animal, Chief?
Well, no. Up to now, I haven't been skunked.
Well, that makes sense. Well, what are some of the calls? Quiet. Now, let's have none of that. What are some of the calls you do?
Well, sometimes when I'm out in the canoe and I get hungry and want a snack,
yeah.
Well, I just lean out and give a muskrat call.
Really? What does a muskrat call sound like, Chief?
Well, you have to puck up your lips like this and...
You just stopped in time, Chief. You know, four vice presidents came running out of their offices, wagging their memos behind them. What other fauna mimicry can you conjure up on short notice?
Well, when an owl is in good humor, he goes...
Yeah.
And sometimes if an owl wants to scare you, well, he'll go like this.
And naturally, when an owl is feeling under the weather, I suppose he just doesn't give a hoot. Well, what other calls do you use?
Well, there's that long, mournful wail of the loon.
The loon?
Then sometimes when the loon gives a laughing call.
That sounds like Don Wilson flushing a studio audience. Well, it's been nice having you over, and I want to wish you and all of your co-workers at the Sportsman Show a happy and successful run.
Thank you, Fred.
Now, before you go, what is your permanent address, Chief? Where can we reach you in a hurry?
Why, Fred?
Well, I'll tell you why, Chief Nidabe. In 1626, you Indians sold New York to Peter Minuit for $24. Now, suppose Mayor LaGuardia, after a budget meeting someday, hears that you are in town with 24 bucks, he might want to sell you the city back.
No, you don't. A bargain's a bargain, Fred.
We're stuck with it, huh?
You sure are. Good night, Fred.
Good night, and thank you, Chief Nidabe. At this time each week, we part our program in the middle to make room for the Martins. Now, tonight, they're going to sing, Oh, for Heaven's Sake. Excuse me for interrupting you, but what is it you want, my little man?
May I sniff?
Oh, yes, go right ahead.
Thank you, very kindly. No, nothing here. Let me try over in this corner. Nothing here either. All right, Mr. Allen, go on with your program. I'll be back on the hour.
Very well, Mr. Ketchum. We'll be expecting you on the hour, as usual.
Gosh, Fred, who's that?
Why, he's Mr. Ketchum, Jimmy, the official studio sniffer.
A sniffer, Fred?
Oh, yes. His job is to sniff around the studios and see if anybody has been violating the rule against smoking. You want to watch out for him, Jimmy. This Ketchum is a bad... If he ever finds smoke around you, it's going to mean plenty of trouble for you.
Well, say, smoke means trouble for lots of people, Fred, especially for motorists. Be on the lookout for it, ladies and gentlemen. Whenever you see a car with a smoky exhaust pipe, more than likely it's a sign of excessive engine wear, which only a costly repair job can set right. So before your car becomes a smoker, help protect your engine from these three sources of wear, which so often make cars smoke. Wear due to heat, wear due to cold, and wear due to oil impurities. Change to insulated Havoline, the oil made to resist today's intense engine heat, which can break down ordinary oils and speed up wear. Insulated Havoline flows quickly, too. Helps prevent the rubbing metal-to-metal wear of cold starts. Insulated Havoline also is distilled to remove carbon-forming impurities. Remember, your car was never designed to smoke. Change now to insulated Havoline at your Texaco dealer. Help reduce excessive wear in your motor. Texaco Star Theater continues immediately after a short pause for your station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Hi there, Mr. Moon. Tighten that drum head, Maestro. Hi there, Mr. Moon, the Eclipse arrangement played by Fire Chief Goodman and his 24 clinkers. Say, Portland, will you come over here a minute, please?
One, two, yes, sir.
Say, what? Are you saluting me or are you just plastering down a spit curl?
Why, I'm saluting.
Oh, well, you don't have to salute. This isn't gold braid on my shoulder. It's just a little egg I got standing under a tall man at the automat. One of those spray eaters. But what is this military maneuver you're giving out with here?
Well, Kenny taught me this salute.
Kenny Baker?
He's Private Baker now.
Private Baker? Mm-hmm. Portland, Kenny hasn't... Where is he?
He's backstage getting his uniform fitted.
So Kenny has been called, hey? When was he notified?
This morning. His agent closed the deal.
He couldn't get it direct, eh? Kenny's agent booked him at Fort Dix.
Oh, and he isn't going to Fort Dix.
Where is he? Has he got to break in and show it for a few weeks? Is he going south?
No. Kenny's stationed on 42nd Street, Branch Office 19.
Branch 19? Look, Portland, the Army doesn't have branches around in every block. After all, the Army isn't the A&P. Or the Safeway stores for California. I have to change it, I forget.
Kenny isn't in the Army.
Kenny isn't in the Army? Then what is this uniform and saluting business?
Kenny's working for Postal Telegraph.
Oh! Why didn't you say so?
Here he is now.
Left face, one, two. Right face, one, two. Good fight. One, two, three, four. Company, halt, one, two.
Hi, folks, what's jumping?
Now, look, General.
Oh, I'm not a general yet, F.A. I'm just Private Baker, V.C.
V.C.?
Valentine Corps.
Yes. Kenny's with the Singing Valentine Division of Postal Telegraph.
Aren't you proud of me, F.A.?
Kenny, you mean that you've taken a job as one of those singing messenger boys?
I make my debut Friday.
Your debut where?
On the doorstep of one Blossom Borkin on 50th Street.
Blossom Borkin, eh?
Who wrote your first solo Valentine, Kenny?
It's from a Mr. Loomis of Dubuque. He's crazy about Blossom.
Loomis sent Blossom a hot Valentine, did he?
Hot? I gotta sing it boogie woogie.
Really? Well, all right, enough about your sideline, Kenny. Now it's time to sing your song.
Oh, I can't sing any more tonight, F.A. I gotta save my voice for Valentine's Day.
Who said so?
Captain Butler.
Captain Butler?
Captain Butler is commanding officer of the 42nd Street Branch.
Branch of what?
Postal Telegraph's 8th Mounted Bicycle Division. Working north out of Times Square.
Well, never mind Captain Butler working north, Kenny. You sing your song.
F.A., you can't stand between me and my career. My mind's made up.
Kenny, you're not going to leave us, are you?
Well, I don't know, Porty.
But you can't afford to leave a steady job here for a few days' work with Postal Telegraph.
I'll come out better financially.
No kidding.
I don't get any tips on this job.
Well, money isn't everything, Kenny.
Money isn't everything, she says. This precise statement I am hearing someplace before.
When? When, Mr. Goodman?
When I'm signing with you.
Signing, he says. You call making a cross on a contract signing?
You call that a contract? A piece of Kleenex?
Now, quiet, please. Now, listen, Kenny. Come in.
Private Bacon?
Gee, Captain Butler.
Of Postal Telegraph?
8th Mounted Bicycle Division.
I know. Working north out of Times Square.
East. We just lost north to Western Union.
Well, look, Captain, we're mighty busy around.
Private Baker is subject to daily inspection until Valentine's Day. 0 hour.
I don't care.
Oh, please, F.A. You want me to get court-martialed?
Private Baker, attention. Present. Pencil.
Yes.
Yes what?
Yes, sir.
Rest. Pencil.
Yes, sir.
Pull in your stomach.
Yes, sir.
Now prepare for drill.
Yes, sir.
Clear voice. What?
Sir.
Well, that's more like it.
Now, look, will you get this over?
Quiet. All right, Baker. Ready? Aim. Fire. Very good. Carry on.
Well, now I have seen everything.
Isn't Captain Butler military?
Military is reminding me.
The hard way, huh? Military is reminding you of what, Mr. Goodman?
My brother-in-law was yesterday called by the draft. He left already.
For camp?
For South America.
Chile?
No, he left on a warm day. Good luck to him.
Please, please, don't pad it. Please, Maestro.
You'll have to excuse me now, Mr. Allen. Duty calls.
What duty?
I've got to practice doorbell and push-button maneuvers.
Really?
Gosh, Kenny, I've never heard a singing Valentine. Can you sing one for me?
Sure, Porty. I got my debut Valentine with me.
Oh, the one for Blossom Borkin?
Yeah, the one Mr. Loomis of Dubuque is sending her. I'm going to deliver it Friday.
Sing it, Kenny.
Okay.
Well, don't you think it's a little personal?
Oh, no. It's love.
Oh, well, all right.
Go ahead, Kenny.
All right. Miss Blossom Borkin on South 50th Street.
No, no, Kenny. You don't sing the address. You start with the message on these.
Oh.
What I should have told you. The singing starts with a recitative until you get to the singing, the message itself, and then the singing starts. Okay.
I do not send you precious stones. No gift of gold is mine. But today I'll have a heart attack if you'll be my Valentine. 80 cents, collect!
Gosh, Kenny, that's beautiful.
Went bigger than Amapolo. I was surprised. Showed you the old numbers. They like them. Well, that singing P.S., though, that caught my shell-like ear. That collect phrase was very touching.
Every week, my brother-in-law is sending out telegrams.
What telegrams?
Racing tips. In the telegram, he is sprinkling wet oats.
Wet oats? What's the idea?
People should think it's straight from the horse's mouth.
Well, it ain't hay, at least. I haven't got enough trouble around. Oh, come in.
Private Baker, attention!
Now, wait a minute, Captain Butler. Private Baker has already been inspected once.
Private Baker is about to be drummed out of the service.
Drummed out?
Yes, Baker. You have just sung over the air a personal telegram.
Oh, but Captain...
Quiet! Baker, you revealed secrets to the enemy.
What? What enemy?
Blossom Borkin's husband.
You mean Mr. Loomis is
Loomis is a gigolo. Borkin is suing. Baker, you revealed a confidential communique.
Yes, sir.
You are guilty of treason. You are no longer fit to wear the buttons of postal telegraph.
Oh, but Captain...
Attention! The first button I tear off is the button of loyalty. The second button is for secrecy. The third button is obedience. And all these other buttons I'm removing on general principles. No more, Kenny Baker, will you wear the buttons of postal telegraph. And now, Baker, what have you to say? What?
Oh, sir.
Very well. Carry on.
Well, that does it. Now that the floor looks as though a roadshow of pins and needles just closed here, maybe you can get around to singing your song, Kenny.
Gee, Kenny, I'm awfully sorry.
Thanks, Porty. I hope this doesn't get back to the junior G-men.
We'll hush it up. It won't go any farther than our Crosley, and believe me, it's as good as locked in your heart. Kenny, your number is Let's Dream This One Out. And let's have a little discipline around here now, too. Before you sing, take your hands out of your pockets.
I'm sorry, Mr. Allen.
Come, take them out.
But I can't.
Why not?
Six of those buttons Captain Butler ripped off didn't belong to Postal Telegraph.
You mean?
They belong to my suspenders.
All right, I'll hold them up. You sing, Kenny.
Lovely night, swell orchestra, pine crowd so gay. And now to make it perfect, let's slip away. It's been so nice dancing, now how about chancing a moonlight view? Darling, let's dream this one out. So inviting, I'd put it in writing that I love you. So darling, let's dream this one out. The music will follow sweetly out where the blue shadows start. And while the stars wink discreetly, we won't see our heartbeat apart. And maybe we'll say things, those let's name the day things that thrill us through. Let's try it, let's dream this one out. And while the stars wink discreetly, we won't see our heartbeat apart. And maybe we'll say things, well, let's name the day things that thrill us through. Let's try it, let's dream.
A word
either two or even three, if he's in the mood, from James Wallington, M.D., Master of Duds. Say, tell us about your latest researches in dudology, Jimmy.
Thank you, Fred.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, duds are...
Jimmy, duds what's the trouble? You've got a frog in your throat?
No, Fred, duds.
Oh, duds in your vocal cords?
Yeah, I can't even get started.
Well, gee, Jimmy, you must have a larynx like a carburetor. I know that motorists can't expect to get quick starts on cold days if there are sluggish, slow-action duds in their gasoline.
That's right, Fred. It's the same way with my throat. I just can't get going.
Well, gosh, we can't have you going around like this, James. We have got to get those duds out of your epiglottis there. Now, let me see. I've got an idea. Jimmy, say, Fire Chief Gasoline.
All right. I'll try to. Fire Chief Gasoline. Fire Chief Gasoline.
Fire Chief Gasoline. Why, it's wonderful, Fred. The duds have disappeared.
Why, certainly, Jimmy. You don't get duds with Fire Chief Gasoline. Well, now you're all fixed up, James. Go to work.
I will, Fred. Just like a motor goes to work with Fire Chief. Press the starter and that charge of Fire Chief on the cylinders goes off in a flash. Your engine takes hold, reaches full power quickly. And full power, you know, is economical power. Next time, try a Texaco dealer and famous Fire Chief. Remember, there's not a dud in a tank full.
And now the Texaco workshop players. The scenery is coming in. This little peek behind stage here. Tonight, they get $700 a week with the union, that little man. And this is all he does. Twice a month. $700 a week. We're in the wrong end of the business here. Well, tonight, now, the Texaco workshop players. Tonight, they present a demented reproduction of one of radio's most popular quiz programs. This version is called Truth or Subsequences. Over to you, Mr. G.
This is station KLUK. We now present that popular half hour of fun and quiz, It's Truth or Subsequences.
Truth or Subsequences is brought to you by the makers of Tooth Pep, the only toothpaste that contains...
toothpaste.
Yes, folks, only Tooth Pep contains toothpaste, the mystery ingredient never mentioned by other dentifrices. In a recent scientific survey, it was proved that Tooth Pep does not contain...
helium,
solarium,
podium,
or chicken fat.
None of these ingredients that clutter up other dentifrices can be found in Tooth Pep. Tooth Pep alone contains...
toothpaste.
Buy a tube of Tooth Pep today.
And don't forget Tooth Pep's big 10-day offer. If you have teeth, send us your name and address. One of our demonstrators will call. For 10 days, he will live at your house absolutely free. Every morning and every night, our demonstrator will brush your teeth with Tooth Pep. If at the end of 10 days you are not satisfied, our demonstrator will beat your brains out.
And folks, don't forget Tooth Pep's big contest. Mail in one word that rhymes with teeth, and we will send you a brand new concrete mixer absolutely free. Cement old friendships. Be a mixer. Send for your concrete mixer today.
And don't forget Tooth Pep's big free gift offer. Don't write us, and we will send you the new, big, all-out toothbrush. This is the toothbrush with the rear mirror attached to the handle. What is that hiding behind your wisdom tooth? It may be someone you know. You can see all with an all-out toothbrush.
And don't forget, Tooth Pep alone contains...
toothpaste.
Buy a tube of Tooth Pep today.
You think that's enough commercial, fellas?
Yeah, I'm winded.
Me too. Go ahead, Ben. Give me a show.
Okay. And now, folks, Truth or Subsequences. Presenting our full of fun master of quiz-tivities, Ralph Deadwood.
Good evening, friends. As you know, Truth or Subsequences is entirely unrehearsed. You know the rules. If a contestant doesn't tell the truth, he has to pay the subsequences. We're having a lot of fun, folks, here in the studio.
Hey, take it easy, Ralph. Hey, Ralph, pipe down, Ralph. We haven't started yet.
That's right. What am I laughing at? I must be nuts. Well, who is our first contestant?
He's Mr. Everett Bilge of Pinpoint, Long Island.
Well, howdy, Mr. Bilge.
Hello. When do I get the $5?
Well, not so fast, Mr. Bilge. You'll get your $5. Now, first, what is your occupation?
Right now, it's trying to get $5.
Well, be patient, Mr. Bilge. What is it you do?
I'm a professional yuck.
And what is a yuck?
A yuck is a schnook who goes around making a dope of himself on quiz programs.
And you get money for this yuck work, do you?
I will when you give me $5.
Well, that seems to bring us to our question. Now, are you ready, Mr. Bill?
Yeah. Shoot the query to me, Bleary.
This question, Mr. Bilge, was sent in by Mrs. Abigail Lard of Rakehandle, Georgia. And Mrs. Lard's poser is, who was the first president of the United States?
Can I have that question again?
Who was the first president of the United States?
FDR.
Oh, no, no. He's the president now. Who was the first president?
Oh, was there another one?
Yes, there was. The initials are G.W.
G.W.
I know the answer.
Now, quiet, you in the front row. No prompting, please. Now, Mr. Bill.
The answer is George Washington.
Oh, yeah,
well,
yeah.
Darn that spoil sport. He's ruined our first question.
Hey, now do I get my $5?
Not yet. That pest in the front row told the truth, not you. So you, Mr. Bilge, will have to pay the subsequences.
All right. I'm the chump. What do I got to do now?
Well, Mr. Bilge, here are two bananas. Now, you are to eat these two bananas simultaneously. And as you are eating these two bananas simultaneously, you are to sing Home on the Range. Now, are we ready?
I wished I knew some other way of making $5.
But you don't, do you?
No.
All right, let's go. Mr. Bilge is skinning his two bananas, folks. Everybody's screaming at the fun. Now Mr. Bilge is putting both bananas in his mouth. He's ambidextrous, eating two bananas simultaneously. He's starting to sing Home on the Range with his mouth full of bananas.
Home!
If you want fun, folks, this is fun. You've never seen fun like this.
Where do I get my $5?
Right now, Mr. Bilge, here is your $5 and your big, giant-sized, miniature tube of toothpaste.
Thank you.
What's wrong, Mr. Bilge?
I don't know.
Folks, Mr. Bilge has added some spontaneous fun. He's fainted.
Rock.
Yes, Larry?
Mr. Bilge hasn't fainted. He's dead.
Dead?
Dead.
You can't tell what will happen on these unrehearsed programs. Larry, roll Mr. Bilge away from the microphone.
Okay, Ralph.
Now, on with the show. Who is our next guest, Larry?
There are two of them.
Oh, this sweet little old couple here?
Yes, Ralph. Meet Mr. and Mrs. Barkley Crawl of Poison Pen, Iowa.
Well, good evening.
Good evening. This is my wife, Martha. She's kind of frail.
Good evening. Yeah. I'll set my Boston bag over here.
Yeah, Martha always carries a Boston bag. Her first husband came from Boston.
Oh, hush, Barkley.
Well, she's bad for luck at it.
Oh, folks, I wish you could see this sweet old couple here. Well, now for the fun. This question, Mr. and Mrs. Crawl, this question was sent in by word of mouth by a man who couldn't write. Got it to us, came in only this morning through a parrot, was mailed. And the question is, who wrote Huckleberry Finn?
I know the answer.
Quiet, please. Now, if you don't stop this verbal molesting, sir, I'll have to call the police. Now, where was I? Oh, yes. Well, Mr. Crawl, who wrote Huckleberry Finn?
I know the answer.
Quiet, you.
The answer is Mark Twain.
Oh, yes. Of course, I should have known.
Confound that fat interloper. Well, we call them as we see them. Well, you both didn't tell the truth. You didn't tell the truth, Mr. and Mrs. Crawl, so you'll have to pay the subsequences.
Oh, it's...
this where the sport starts?
The sport starts now, yes, Mr. Crawl. For your subsequence, you are going to be a little baby.
Oh.
Larry, have you got that baby robe and the baby bonnet?
Uh-huh, right.
Fine.
Here. Right here.
Now, will you put those on, Mr. Crawl?
It's okay, just a minute.
Mr. Crawl is putting on the baby dress. The crowd's roaring. Now he's having a little trouble getting into it. So long since he was a baby, he forgets how he used to put it on. Well, he's putting on the baby's bonnet. Are we having fun? There you are, Mr. Crawl. You are a bouncing baby boy.
Dad, look, Marty, I'm a baby. Oh,
you're a card, Mr. Crawl.
Yeah.
Well, watch it, Barclay. Now, Mrs. Crawl, you are the baby's father. You're smoking a big black cigar.
Oh, dear.
Larry, stick the cigar in Mrs. Crawl's mouth, will you?
Oh, thank
you. Oh, you look well in a cigar, Mrs. Crawl.
Oh, thank
now,
you.
Now, Mr. Crawl, you're the baby, and you're crying,
Mrs.
Crawl, you're the father, you see. You try to put the baby to sleep by reciting the village blacksmith. Now, let's go, folks. Mr. Crawl is reciting with a big cigar. The crowd is screaming, having fun. Mr. Crawl just pulled the baby's bottle out of the must have sneaked it in. Giving Mr. Crawl the baby's bottle. Mr. Crawl pushed the rubber in his mouth. The crowd is just about funned out. Yes, the crowd is funned out. They've had enough. That's all, brother.
Where's the money?
Now, here's your $5, just enough corn till the crows get here. Here is your $5 and your giant-sized miniature tube of toothpaste.
Thanks. Hey, I'm gonna... Oh,
say, Barclay's fainted.
Good heavens, Ralph. Mrs. Squirm's down, too.
Well, it's that strong cigar. I guess she's fainted.
Ralph?
Yes, Larry?
These folks haven't fainted. They've been murdered.
Murdered? Quiet, everybody. Quiet, everybody. Keep your seats. Don't leave this studio.
Look at these bullet holes, Ralph.
Yeah, in all three bodies. Somebody in this studio has a gun with a silencer. Now, who fired those three shots?
I know the answer to that one, folks.
That heckler again. Come up here, you.
You bet I'll come up there.
You know who shot these three contestants?
Yeah.
Who are you?
My card.
Mort Tripe, radio gag man. Joke supply for any program.
That's me.
You murdered these three quiz participants, Tripe?
You bet I murdered them. I broke up your Truth and Subsequences program, and I'll keep on heckling and murdering till I break up all these programs.
But why?
These quiz programs are putting us gag men out of business, that's why. Who needs jokes on the radio nowadays? You get people out of the audience eating bananas, dressing up like babies. The audience dies laughing. These studio stunts get bigger laughs than my jokes can ever get. That's why I shot them, and I'll shoot them all. Every one of them.
Come along, Tripe. You'll get the chair for this.
Okay, but one thing before I go. You always ask the questions, Deadwood. Just let me ask you one question.
All right, what is it?
Do you think radio will ever grow up?
Why, of course, it's grown up right now.
You ain't told the truth, bud, so now for a change, you'll have to take the subsequences.
Subsequences?
Yeah, wait till I get this.
Now here, put down that seltzer bottle.
Oh, yeah? You're a fish, and you're going upstream.
Now here, you put that down.
You're getting this seltzer right in the put.
And now, just a parting word from Larry Elliott.
The next few moments are devoted to the entire petroleum industry by the Texas Company. Through constant research, the petroleum industry has seen to it that America is not only prepared, but enjoys supremacy in the air for both the quality and quantity of its vital fighting fuels. Every American can take pride in the fact that when it comes to aviation, that modern arm of this country's defense, our boys in training in the Air Corps, our pilots, fly with the finest super aviation fuels in the world today.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This is Fred Allen saying good night for the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast. Good night. Thank you.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.